But first, it's time to speak to the Arts Minister, Senator George Brandis.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
one. Well, 2 months ago, the federal government cut $104 million from the Australia Council, the federal government's art funding body, and the money was to be reallocated to a new entity called the National Program for Excellence in the Arts, or NPEA. Now, as you know, this announcement has been the subject of great speculation and a good deal of distress in some sectors of the arts community. At the start of this month, the government circulated draft guidelines for the NPEA, called for public comment, essentially, and that process ends on Friday. Well, to talk to us about how all this is going, how the national program is shaping up, we're joined by the Arts Minister, Senator George Brandis, who's in our Parliament House studios this morning. Senator, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Michael.
So how much feedback have you received?
We've received about 80 submissions.
And are there any clear insights or themes that are emerging?
As has always been the case with our new program, there's a variety of views. There are those who celebrate it and who understand the point of it. There are those who are committed to the status quo, who don't want to see any reform at all. And there are constructive submissions which do what the very thing that that we asked the sector to consider, and that is to look at the draft guidelines. They weren't put out there, by the way, merely for the sake of a gesture. They were put out because we genuinely welcome the feedback from the sector as to the terms of the guidelines. So we will be taking those views into account. I don't want to anticipate what changes might be made when public discussion or the public feedback period hasn't even ended yet.
No, but fair enough.
We have had some useful feedback, absolutely. Mm.
So let me put to you some of the areas of concern that have come up on the show over the last few weeks. In the arts community, there have been people who've seen this as an attack on the small to medium-sized companies, and I guess that's because the Australian Council had to cut the six-year funding program. It had promised to fund these companies for 6 years and now has retracted on that. So there has been a perception that your word excellence is code for big companies and that people who are working at a community level have a reason to be worried.
Well, my word and my commitment to excellence is not code for anything. It's a commitment to excellence. And I don't administer the Australia Council's budget. The Australia Council does that. The decisions that the Australia Council makes are matters for it. Like every Commonwealth agency, it has to work within the budget that the government gives us. But I did make it clear that I wanted the big, the 28 major performing arts companies quarantined because, frankly, they are the companies, the flagship companies, that mean the most to Australian audiences, to larger numbers of Australian audiences. And in saying that, I mean absolutely no disrespect to the small to medium arts companies, which do very fine work. But, you know, Michael, the problem here is that people get wedded to the status quo, and they become so wedded to the status quo that they find it impossible to think that things could be done better. This is the problem with any reform in public policy. You always have to overcome the understandable human fear of people with a vested interest in the status quo.
Well, with respect,
the fear of change.
With respect, Minister, people are fearful because they're trying to read your mind. They're trying to work out what values or what kinds of art practice you value and what kinds of art practice you think we have too much of. And so the small to medium sector, especially people who are engaged in community work or working with Indigenous people or with disadvantaged people, are wondering whether their work appeals or falls within your category of excellence, which sounds as though it belongs on the big end.
I know that sometimes, even in a satirical way, people have suggested this is about my own personal taste. It's not, because, as I keep reminding you and others, I'm not the assessor. But can I give you an example, please, Michael, of a perfect example, as it seems to me, of the rationale of diversifying the opportunities for arts funding so that not everything is channeled through the Australia Council. Last night, like so many others, I went to the Helpman Awards. It was a wonderful evening, a wonderful celebration of live performance in Australia in all the various genres. Now, the two most successful shows rewarded last night were Les Miserables, which was perhaps expected, and Faramondo, the Baroque opera that Leo Schofield and Jared Carland presented as part of the Brisbane Baroque Festival earlier this year. The two most successful live performance, the live shows in Australia in the past year, neither of them had Australia Council funding. Now, you might say, well, Les Miserables, you wouldn't expect it to because it's a major commercial production. But look at Faramondo, which beat Opera Australia in the Best Opera category. The Brisbane Baroque and Faramondo couldn't get Australia Council funding because the funding guidelines just didn't allow for them, so they were funded through the Ministry of the Arts. So there you have a perfect example of what I'm trying to make people appreciate, that some of the best of our art, in this case performance art, judged by the industry and by peers, couldn't even get Australia Council funding. And had I not funded it through the Ministry of the Arts, and had the former Queensland government, Ian Walker, the Arts Minister, not funded it through Arts Queensland, it wouldn't have happened.
Minister, what do you say to people who claim that you are politicising arts funding, that you're in a position to silence artists who might be seen as critical of the government?
They are completely wrong. They are completely wrong. This is about the best allocation of public money.
Well, the draft plan...
Every dollar that the Commonwealth spends on arts funding is public money, and governments, whatever their political persuasion, Michael, have a responsibility to ensure that that money is spent where it is best spent. That is a responsibility that lies in every area of government, and the arts are no different.
The draft plan does say that the Minister of the Arts may moderate assessments to ensure that each assessment has been properly considered. And one of the grounds on which it can be modified is on the grounds of government policy objectives. Now, that does look like a licence to engage in ideological vetting.
Well, that's one way of putting it, which I don't accept. Another, a slightly more sensible way of putting it, if I may say so, would merely be to say that the government of the day should have an arts policy. There were some of my critics, by the way, in the sector who said, you don't have an arts policy. We did, of course. We took an arts policy to the last election. But I was being criticised last year for not being specific enough about our arts policy. Well, let me give you some of the... highlight some of the main features of the guidelines that demonstrate where the government's policy priorities lie. We want to encourage endowments. We want our arts companies, not just the big arts companies, but the small to medium arts companies as well, to be on a more secure financial footing. And so we want to use a funding stream within the new program to leverage more private sector investment into arts companies. That is a policy objective of the government, and it's a good one. We want to encourage more international touring by our arts companies because modern Australia is as identified by the quality and excellence of its art, its performing art and its visual art and its literature and its film as it is by the more traditional iconic associations with Australia. I, as the Arts Minister, get a great deal of pleasure out of thinking that perhaps beside the kangaroo, our most recognisable international icon is an opera house. It's a great thing. Australia, as the Australia Council said in their strategic plan last year, is a culturally ambitious nation, but it's also a culturally accomplished nation. So it is the policy of the government, which I'm proud of, to display the best of Australian art to the world. And that comes at a cost. Now, those are two features of the new program. Those are areas that we'll be giving some priority to.
Mm. Senator, you announced that NPO will have $20 million a year over 4 years. That's $80 million, which leaves, $24 million missing. What's happened to that money, the money that was cut from the Australia Council that doesn't show up in the current figures for the new national program?
Well, we will be distributing to the sector as much of the $104 million as we can. I mean, there will be some transactional costs. There always are. I haven't seen that $80 million figure before. It is $104 million over 4 years. And as much of that $104 million that can be distributed to the sector will be distributed to the sector.
And now I do know you have to go, but just two more questions. The first is that there's no funding for writers or individual artists under this program. What was your thinking behind that?
The funding for individual artists will remain a function of the Australia Council. Specifically in relation to writers, can I remind your listeners, Michael, that in coming weeks we will be announcing the constitution of the new Book Council of Australia, and we'll have more to say about that then.
Okay. Now, I'm delighted to note that the program is not spelt WME, but just program in the standard way, program with an AM. I'd like to think this is because of me, but perhaps it isn't. What's the thinking behind going against the current trend in Canberra of having the Frenchified spelling?
Well, Michael, that's probably the most surprising question I've been asked for a long time. To which I don't have a ready answer. It's not like me. You're right, but I'm not going to be a commentator on spelling styles adopted by the Australian Public Service.
Can I urge you? Well, the Australian Public Service's guidelines, the style manual, specifies program without a double M-E. As the way to spell it. So it'd be nice to see the...
How would you prefer it to be spelled,
Michael? Program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M. Program.
Well, that's the way it is spelled.
Yes, and I'm all for it. What else did you take away from the Helpman Awards last night? I mean,
I thought it was a joyous occasion. I must say, and there was... Matthew Westwood makes this point in his arts column this morning, which was perhaps written in anticipation of the event, that there was said to be some... suggestion that because of criticism from some of the new program, I would be the subject of criticism. There was not a breath of criticism from any recipient of any award, and at the function afterwards, I was, as one would expect, a lot of people came up to talk to me. Most of the people who sought me out were interested in the new program. Most were enthusiastic about it. The number of people who sought me out with criticisms of the program was 2.
Mm. Thank you, Minister. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Minister for the Arts, George Brandis, recorded just an hour ago. And feedback on the proposed guidelines for the National Program for Excellence in the Arts closes at 5 p.m. this coming Friday. That's the 31st of July. So if you want to give them feedback, you better spring off your tails. There's a link there on our website to where you need to go to do that. And I'd love to know what you think. You can talk to us on Facebook. You can talk to us on Twitter. You can leave a comment on our website, where there's also a link to all the winners of the Helpman Awards last night in Sydney. Such a glittering occasion. On RN, this is Books and Arts.